Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Hey, hey, let's go Buffalo! Hey, hey, let's go Buffalo!
The Bills make me wanna shout!
Welcome to the Circling the Wagons podcast, a podcast discussing the Bills all year round with interviews, news, recaps, and insightful fan discussion. Most times. Here's your host and lifelong Bills fan, Nate.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast. I'm your host, Nate. Thank you so much for joining us. This marks the end of the NFL Scouting Combine, where NFL draft prospects get scrutinized physically, athletically, and mentally to a great degree. Speaking of the mental portion, we re-released one of our favorite episodes where we took the Wunderlich test on the podcast, the Wunderlich being the aptitude test that all NFL draft prospects take to measure their mental aptitude. It's somewhat accurate, somewhat flawed. We talk all about that, and we actually took the test, so it was fun to share the results live there. This was a couple years ago that we took it, but it's one of our favorite podcasts. So hopefully you guys enjoy that if you're listening to this one. Last week, we discussed current Bills that are under contract for the 2020 season that we would decide if we would cut them or keep them on the roster. That was a fun exercise. But in this episode, we are going to discuss the Bills' top three free agents of the roster heading into free agency. Will the Bills extend them? Will they let them walk? Should they, in our opinion, should they let them walk or go from there? So we're going to discuss this. We're also going to go into quick Bills news and notes this week in Bills history and give away our Donovan McNabb signed football at the end of the podcast. So stay tuned. Remember to listen to the end of the podcast for that. But as always, I'm joined by my co-hosts, John and Mike. Fellas, how are you doing this this wonderful episode?
Doing great. Go Bills.
Doing good. Great to be here.
All right. Good to have you guys. Well, there's not a lot to talk about as far as the Bills go. You know, obviously McDermott and Brandon Bean were at the scouting combine. They were taking questions from reporters. There was some interesting things of note, but what was really cool, I thought, was Sean McDermott getting on Good Morning Football with Pete Schrager, and he discussed his way of attracting free agents or what he talks to free agents about when they come to Buffalo, and he said the following.
Well, I think this, it just comes down to simply, we've got a tremendous culture, a tremendous locker room, and really it's about a transformational type of locker room, type of culture, and as opposed to transactional. You come to Buffalo, you'll become the best version of you that you've ever been before, on the field and off the field, and whether it's college players coming to us via the draft or a free agency with pro players, that's what we've done, and that's what the players have done, and it's really a credit to everyone in our building.
And what was cool is after he said that, a number of different Bills players quote tweeted it and basically said, you know, that's the truth. You know, that's how they feel. That's how it is. And you've heard a lot of players talk about that on and off again in the last 3 years that McDermott and Bean have been here. So I just thought that was kind of a cool quote. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but I kind of feel like since McDermott has been here, I've been like the best version of a fan that I've been too, you know, just like this, like Nate is, I am the most, this has been such a fun time to be a fan in the last 3 years that McDermott has been here that like, I kind of feel like, you know, this team is such a likable team, the players on it, the way that they act on and off the field. And it's just kind of like this family atmosphere. This team, this culture is just, it's just gotten to not only within the locker room and within the front office and everything at One Bills Drive, but I get the feeling that it's resonating with all of us fans. So what do you guys think of that quote? Do you agree with that? And is that kind of how you feel with feel it as a fan?
Trust the process, right? I mean, players are buying in. That's definitely a good thing. As a fan, I mean, yeah, I mean, I feel no different. I still feel like this is their year, just like I have the last however many decades.
John always trusts. John trusted the process back in like 2003.
No, it's totally, it's a politician's answer. It's mindless platitude. It means nothing. Like, did Kelvin Benjamin think he was the best version of himself physically and mentally when he came to Buffalo? No. How about Zay Jones? Like, no, like it means nothing. Like, how about a concrete?
That's why they're gone now.
Yeah, but there's no specifics, no like real answer.
I think he definitely has to say that to a point. But I've never heard anyone really talk about it to that extent in previous coaching staffs. I mean, you know, Rex Ryan, you know, they might say, you want to come here, you're going to win or something to that effect. But no one's ever said, no one's ever cared about how you're going to be as a person. And I think that's what hits home with players or in fans is that, you know, before it was just like, this is what the team can do. This is how we're going to run as an organization. It's like, no, like Mike, we want you to be the best Mike that you can be. Like, not only when you're here, we're going to push you to be hard, but we want you to be the best Mike, like out in the community, like as a person, as a friend, as a son or whatever. Like, we want you to be the best at everything. And it all starts here and it resonates from here on out. And I think that's, if you're someone, maybe if you're someone who lacks direction, maybe you're someone who doesn't have that sort of figure in your life that expects that of you or wants that out of you, you know, that you kind of cling to. Or maybe, you know, you're talking to a lot of these guys that are coming out as rookies out of college, right? Or young players in their early 20s. And that's like such a, I mean, you look back at like our early 20s. I mean, you just kind of go with the flow. You figure things out as you go along. But very few times is someone like, you know, pointing you in a direction that you go with your career and your life. So I think that kind of is like, you know, hey, you know, is that where I want to go? Like, is that what I want to do? Is that the kind of person I want to be? Okay. Like, that sounds good
to
me.
But it's completely self-serving. Like, his job is to recruit players to Buffalo. Like, that's the whole point of his spiel, right? Like, in all these managed, these buzzwords, these ideas, like, everybody reads the same management book. And what's in vogue now is like, oh, the complete person. Like, it tells us nothing. Is my only point. Like, maybe he has to say it because everyone else will say the same thing. Like, but it tells you nothing. It's not like player A came to Buffalo and oh, he's the NFL's man of the year because of our policies and procedures to plug you in to charities and philanthropies in the local area, and you're going to be a better, more philanthropic person. And oh, look at player B, who had his best season ever because of this coach and this assistant coach and this. It's just, oh, come to Buffalo, you'll be the best player. No, I don't fault the guy at all. It's a sound bite, but it's not telling you anything, is my only point.
I think the main takeaway is that the players are buying into what he is saying. It's not like, you know, when Dick Duran was here, the players are retweeting things that Duran said.
Did Twitter exist then?
Or Rex Ryan or Chan Gailey or any of them.
Did the internet exist when Duran was? That's fair, Mike. I think I'm sure it's not just like a generic blank, like template, like you be that best person. Okay, bring in the next guy. All right, yeah. You know, John Brown, okay, you're going to come here, you're going to be the best person on off the field. Okay, Cole Beasley, come on in. You're going to be the best. I think they do try to tailor it specifically. I mean, without knowing who the free agent is, I don't think that they can actually come out and say this. Like, I mean, in the end, money talks. But if you're in a position where you're between three or four other franchises, you know, like the Bills were with Greg Olsen a few weeks ago, you know, you have a certain thing. Obviously, Greg Olsen didn't want to be the best form of himself. Like, can we all say that for sure?
I don't like, maybe when you're 20, you believe this stuff, but aren't we old enough now where you have a certain level of cynicism? Like, the person, again, his job is to recruit people, right? It's completely self-serving.
Yes.
Not that that's bad. I'm not condemning it. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying anything. I'm just surprised you guys lap it up.
Well, I...
It's like, of course your boss is, oh, we love you. We want to keep you. Oh, pay me at the end of the day. Like, you can do all this, oh, company picnic, blah, 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 whatever.
Yeah, pay me. Yeah, yeah.
It's all means to an end, is my point.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, to a Super Bowl end.
Yeah, to a Super Bowl end.
Hey.
Like, yes, they, oh, we're all big one family. If you don't win, he's going to be gone, right? Like, if the players don't perform, they're going to be gone. They might be the NFL's man of the year philanthropically, but if they suck on the field, they're going to be gone. Like, you,
Mike's very cynical about this idea. I think you're right. It is completely self-serving. I mean, that's how you get people to come, is you have to sell them a line. You have to, it's the same thing if you're recruiting for college, if you're Nick Saban out of Alabama, like, how do you recruit? You think he's selling the, you know, you'll be the best version of yourself, or is he selling, you know, come here if you want to win a national championship. You're going to work for it, but you're going to win one. You know, like, that's his selling point, right? Like, they all have their own thing for sure. McDermott can't say, well, if you come here, you're going to make the postseason. He doesn't want to promise that. He can't be like, well, you're going to, you know, make it far. I mean, whereas the Seahawks with Greg Olsen, I'm sure they were like, well, you've got Russell Wilson. Like, you could potentially win a Super Bowl next year when you've never won one. So.
Well, they all have $7 million.
Yeah, they did all. Yeah. Yeah, money. But that's to Mike's point. $7 million. The Bills probably weren't willing to go that far. And money talks, especially because Greg Olsen is 35. And he's not like the young rookie and the young, 20-something-year-old on his second contract. I mean, this guy has been around the league for a while, or he's learned already what the ins and outs. So, yeah, Mike, to your point, I think there's definitely something to be said about that. I still buy in. I still buy it. I still love it. I still trust the process. So I still circle.
I agree with Nate.
2-1. Mike's wrong. The next thing I wanted to write. No, I love Mike's different perspective on that. And, yeah, but let's go into, okay, we're going to go into the top three free agents on the Buffalo Bills roster currently, but they're going to become unrestricted free agents in a while. But let's first do This Week in Bills History with John.
This Week in Bills History.
All right, This Week in Bills History. So as you know, we just had Leap Day, February 29th. Which happens to be the birthday of former Bill Bryce Pop. Now, I got a question for you guys.
Bryce Pop, nice.
In 1995, Pop's first season with the Buffalo Bills, he became the NFL Defensive Player of the Year. How many sacks did he have that season?
I think I know the answer to this one. Mike, you want to go first?
Go ahead.
20.
I'll go under.
Congratulations, Mike. 17 and a half.
Damn it. Why did I go so high? That was ridiculous. Ridiculous number. That's
Derek Thomas.
Not Derek Thomas. Cool. I'm glad I lost that one. Just going to say that. See, that's just how I'm going to sell it to you guys. I'm glad I lost that one, because winning to me didn't, of that amazing This Week in Bills History quiz, didn't matter. It's all about, you know, I'm the best version of myself on and off the podcast, so. All right, let's go into the top three free agents for the Buffalo Bills heading into free agency. Last week we discussed Jordan Phillips and the Bills. Basically, John Wara of the Associated Press said that the Bills were going to let Jordan Phillips test free agency. So we're not going to mention him because we imagine that he will not get re-signed at this point. We talked enough about that last week, so if you want to catch that, check in last week's episode. But for the first one, so we have three major free agents. Kevin Johnson, starting cornerback, Kenneth Johnson, starting left guard, Quinton Spain, and starting defensive end, Shaq Lawson. So I say starting, but a lot of these guys rotated. Quinton Spain did not rotate, but Kevin Johnson rotated with Levi Wallace at corner, sometimes Taron Johnson in the slot. Shaq Lawson obviously was rotating in at defensive end with Jerry Hughes and Trent Murphy at times. So those were, for the most part, they did play a lot of snaps, but we'll go into them player by player, discuss some of the grades and ratings that people have given them, and we'll go from there. So last year, Bills cornerback Kevin Johnson was signed to a one-year, $3 million contract at the very beginning of free agency. As I mentioned last week, Joe Biscaglia of The Athletic does a really good job of grading the players each and every week and giving a season-long grade of the players each and every week, or you know, where they stand, you know, week six, where who's the best player in the Bills or who's the worst player, you know. He does it for like all 34 starters or people, players that have started at one point. This is really good. You should definitely check it out. If you're not an Athletic subscriber, you should definitely become one. So Kevin Johnson, 34 players rated. Out of 34, John and Mike, since I'll include you a little bit on some of these stats, out of 34, where do you think Kevin Johnson was ranked on Joe B's list?
Like which 34 players? Like starters or?
No, they're just players that have started at one point or played a significant amount of snaps. I think his threshold was like 400 snaps or 300 snaps or something like that. 200 maybe? Must be 200. So.
I have 34.
How about we do this? I'm going to change this up right now because this is kind of like, that doesn't really tell you as much as the next question I'm going to ask you. So let's start off. He was number 15 out of 34 as a nickel cornerback, basically. That's where Joe B has him listed, although I know he did do some work on the outside as well. But for example, like I guess his biggest comparable on the team and the person that he'd be competing with the most on the team if he was brought back this season would be Levi Wallace, right? Levi Wallace and I guess Taron Johnson would probably be the two comparables. So as far as Kevin Johnson and Levi Wallace go, who do you think was ranked higher by Joe B? Kevin Johnson or Levi Wallace? Kevin Johnson was ranked 15th out of 34 with a 2.92 GPA.
I mean, they can't be that far apart, can they?
Well,
I don't know.
Well, what do you think? I mean, if I were to, before I looked at this, I wouldn't think that they're that far apart. They seem to be doing pretty well, each one. I mean, no one spectacular, but, you know, pretty good.
I mean, I would have, so like you said, 15th, in my mind, I was already thinking somewhere in the middle of the pack. So, and I probably would say the same for Levi Wallace, but I'm not, you know, entirely sure.
Buddy, that's the point of this exercise, because I don't think anyone's totally sure, unless you watch the tape.
Like, I don't know, 16?
Well, you can just say ranked higher or lower. Just say higher or
lower. I'll go 17.
So both lower. You guys both feel Levi Wallace is worse than Kevin Johnson, and you would be correct based on Joe B's grades. Kevin Johnson ranked 15th out of 34. Levi Wallace is 26th out of 34. So much lower ranking. If you're going by GPAs, Kevin Johnson, 2.92. Levi Wallace, 2.76. So not that far in grading. You know, like a 0.16 GPA. That's not that crazy. But, you know, a lot of many spots down. If you want to go to Pro Football Focus, and before everyone collectively rolls their eyes, when I give out a Pro Football Focus ranking, just know that I'm not going by that. Shut up, John. John's giving me the biggest eye roll ever. I know, I'm not a huge Pro Football Focus fan, but I think a lot of that has to do with their overall player rankings and grades. Like, for example, we talked last week about Tre'Davious White not being in the top 101 players, which is absolutely ridiculous. But I think that we should talk about where their coverage grades are, because they also rank you know, each cornerback on the Bills roster in coverage. So how well do they rank? So between Kevin and Johnson and Levi Wallace, who do you think has a better coverage ranking by Pro Football Focus standards? Do you think it's the same as Joe B's grade, or do you think it's different?
I think it's different.
Ooh. So you think Levi Wallace has a better coverage grade?
I think that's what PFF's going to say.
Because it doesn't make sense logically, so PFF would go. Mike, what do you think?
Sure. Yeah.
Mike's already tuned out. So Kevin Johnson has the better coverage grade than Levi Wallace, a 73.6 compared to a 68.2. So over 5 points. But
bro, I'm checking out. What are you talking about? The coronavirus is ravaging the earth, and you're talking about this stuff.
Oh, we're going to get to
what are we doing? We should be talking, like, what supplies have you gathered? Like, where are we going to meet up? Are we going to form an alliance? Like, what are we doing?
What do you think is the most important supply that we're going to need in the outbreak? It's got to be water, right? Water is
water,
always,
right? 3 days without water.
3 days without water and you die. How long can you go without food?
3 weeks.
Now, is that 3 weeks if you're in good shape, or if, like, you know, you're packing on a few pounds.
I guess average.
Average. Okay, gotcha. All right, all right. Well, I'll have to bulk up, and carb up even more.
That's a good skill.
Yeah, well, a little bit. You know, it's funny, in Zombieland, the fat people were the first to die because they couldn't run away from the zombies. So, but yeah, water. So we agree, water. Where are we going to meet up? I don't have that much artillery. Do we meet up at a friend's house that we know has a ton of guns? Like, what happens? Is he going to shoot us out of fear of us taking his munitions? This got dark really quick.
Don't more people die from the flu than the coronavirus? Percentage wise of cases.
Yes, right now. We're projecting a worldwide scale. But yes, I did read that the people that have really suffered from it are the ones that have compromised immune systems, just like the flu, like the old and the young, you know. I wonder
if you don't get enough sleep, like everyone.
Oh, if that's the case, if you just don't get enough sleep, I'm done. I'm done tomorrow. Now, at what point do you think the outbreak would have to get as bad for your work to be like, yeah, you guys don't have to come in? I feel like it would have to be at epic proportions, epidemic level of proportions.
I think you go work from home, right? Pretty quick. As people are like dying. At that point, you're like, see you in a month, maybe.
Yeah, well, what if you like work at Walmart? Like, you can't just work from home, right?
There's not going to be anything left at Walmart, dude. It's like bare shelves.
Okay, all right. So if water's the first thing to go, what's the next thing? What's the next thing we all got to stock up on?
Whiskey?
Well, you know what goes good with coronavirus? Lyme disease.
Way to steal that joke. So,
wouldn't it be, I mean, there's in medicine a history, right, of treating one disease with another. It's how they treated syphilis. They'd give you malaria. It's 15% chance you would die, but then your brain would rot from syphilis. Mm. So and that's why Al Capone, like his, you know, brain turned to mush because he was too scared of needles to get the malaria shot.
Oh.
So John's point about like, oh, what goes good with it? Like not I mean, it's funny, but kind of like throughout history, wow, you could actually treat one disease with another.
I did not know that. I had no idea that you could treat syphilis with malaria. So then what would happen is, would malaria kill the syphilis?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you would just, wow.
And then you'd hopefully get over the malaria. Sometimes you wouldn't.
Do you ever see that World War Z with Brad Pitt?
Yeah.
That's how he, okay, I'm not going to spoil it, but that's a something similar.
Wow. Well, you can spoil something that was like 10 years old, right?
Right? I don't know. I don't know if you can. 10 years.
That's right. Forgot about that.
So, all right.
But to John's point about the flu, right? Like things can go like, oh, everything's fine to a week later, like horrific.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't somebody say like the man's biggest weakness was like our inability to understand like an exponential function? Like it can go fine. Two people have it. Four people have it. Eight, 60, 64. Boom. Whole world.
Yeah. Like the Black Plague, right? Yeah.
Yeah, man.
It just doesn't. It doesn't take much. Doesn't take much. But don't you think like, yeah. By the way, I made the
mistake. No more going to Bills games. No more like
no
crowded venues.
A Bills game is going to be I mean, luckily it's not a dome, so like it's kind of aerated, right? Like the air is a little bit. It's not stagnant, but it's that's dangerous. That's the worst place you want to be, shoulder to shoulder with all these other people that you know haven't even taken a bath in a few days, right?
Like, would they still play the NFL games, you think, if they had no like? So say things get really bad and there's no like public, you can't get together in public. Like, would you still play an NFL game if you're the NFL? Probably not, right?
Oh, that's a lot of money to lose.
Right? And whatever percent, like, I have no idea what it is, but like such a bigger audience that's watching from home than would ever see it in the stands. So you could still be like, oh, let's play the game, but no fans. Interesting, right?
I feel like the NFL would go out of their way to make players play so they didn't lose out on.
Well, they obviously don't care about the players.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I put that as a possibility. You're right. It's It would just be like, it wouldn't be, they wouldn't cancel it until there was absolute public outcry. That's like, why would you ever play a game? You know, where, what, do you, so you're saying if they did play a game, would there be nobody in the stadium to watch them even? It would just be like literally the players and like the staffs and the referees and the umpires and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah.
Officiating crew? Yeah. I think they would still do it. Because what's their alternative? Just not play it? And, you know, they have the television contracts. Now you got to figure, like, what? Like 99.9% of the people watching the game aren't at the game. So
right.
You'd lose that. Maybe they could just pump in some crowd noise. Like other teams do, like the Falcons did or whatever.
So have you guys like stocked up at all?
I haven't done shit. You know what's sad is like,
you seriously?
I will now.
But think you're gonna eat the food anyway, so it's not like you're out anything. Like, go get yourself some Chef Boyardee, and then freaking hopefully you don't need it. But if you and you can still be fine, or tuna or whatever. It's not like you're even throwing anything away.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, good point. What's the first thing that's going to go? Like you said, besides water, electricity probably is going to go, right? We got to hope this is in the summertime because it's freaking cold right now. You know, electricity, your furnace isn't running. Natural gas. I mean, this is dangerous. Like you were talking about hunting. Like, yeah, I want someone that can cut down a tree. Like, start a fire in my fireplace. Yeah. Do you imagine, like, so if you live in a suburban neighborhood, how quickly that, like, neighborhood is going to deteriorate if people have things that other people don't have, like water? Mm-hmm. Like, you find out that, like, you're the one house on the street that has water. You think there's not going to be, like, 20 other families trying to save their families coming for that water? Right?
Right.
Yeah.
Don't tell anybody that you have it.
Just refuse everyone that needs water, right? There's got to be a certain age limit. Like, if you're under 40, like, you're fine. You can have some water, but if you're over 40, like, you lived a good life, right? Like, it's longer than most live. I don't know.
It's funny that age limit is always younger than you. Younger than...
37 and a half. Like, I mean, you shouldn't. Oh, man.
So does the looting start now, or...
Not yet, John. We'll text you.
We'll text you. How are we going to contact
you? You can just stockpile right now.
There's no electricity. How are we going to contact each other for the looting? John shows up at, like, you know, a grocery store all by himself with a ski mask, and everyone's just shopping like normal. He's like, wait a minute, the looting didn't start tonight. Oh, all right. Just walks. Walks out slowly.
And then he gets tackled.
He gets tackled, I know. Or we just text John in the group text, be like, it's tonight, John.
If you get tackled, John, start coughing on the people. You'll be fine.
You'll be fine. So we were talking about Kevin Johnson. Kevin Johnson has a better grade than Levi Wallace, not only in Joe B's grade, but also in a coverage grade by Pro Football Focus. But I think what's most interesting is Kevin Johnson has only a 0.3 less coverage rating than Tre'Davious White by Pro Football Focus standards, right? So not only is he, you know, he's better than Levi Wallace in both grades, he also has a better coverage rate. He's almost as good as Tre'Davious White. Now, if you go to Joe B's rankings, Tre'Davious White is the best graded player on his ranking. And, you know, Kevin Johnson's number 15. But, you know, it's something to take into account. Kevin Johnson, so far, by most standards, is better.
So value-wise, we should not re-sign Trey White and then just sign Johnson instead to replace White.
Yeah, Kevin Johnson is essentially Tre'Davious White, right? I mean, can we all agree on that? I would be, so with saying that, I wanted to go over SpotTrax, where we get a lot of information from. As we mentioned last week, the Bills have roughly like $75 to $76 million in cap space. If you take into account the fact that they're going to have to sign, you know, seven or so draft picks this upcoming season. The Buffalo Bills, positional spending-wise, when it comes to defensive back, they're ranked bottom six in the league with defensive back spending, which is kind of interesting. You know that number's going to jump like crazy when they re-sign Trey White to the biggest contract in the NFL. But right now, it looks like they're doing the right thing. So I would be okay with re-signing Kevin Johnson to a 1 or 2 or maybe even a 3-year deal. He proved to be healthy. The only reason why he wasn't re-signed in Houston or why he didn't get a bigger contract last season is because he missed the entire season beforehand with a concussion. So injuries have been an issue with Kevin Johnson, but if you do maybe a thing where you do 1, 2, or 3 years and it's just like a John Brown, Cole Beasley contract where if you front load it the first season and, you know, if it goes well, then you have him for year 2 and 3 under pretty good for a low cost. So I'm okay with bringing back Kevin Johnson. What do you guys say?
Yeah, I mean, they're already hurting from a depth perspective at the position. You know, who knows what's going to happen, free agency and the draft and everything. But at this point, I'd say to resign him.
Yeah. Mike, you agree? 3 for 3?
Sure.
All right. Next on the list. We're all agreed, like, re-sign Kevin Johnson to, like, a low. It's not like a, he was re-signed last year for a $3 million contract. I might go as high as, like, $4 or $5 million per year, potentially. But even then, I mean, maybe 5's too much. 3 to 4, again, same thing, couple of years.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts. Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prop G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Let's do it. Okay, next one. Quinton Spain, starting left guard, Quinton Spain. Last year, he signed a 1-year, $2 million contract in the, I would say, like the quote-unquote, like, third wave of free agency, because you have the first wave, which is basically, you know, before free agency even starts, where, like, these players make the huge contracts and, you know, players get signed. And then you have the second wave, which is basically, you know, right after the tampering period, the very official start of free agency in the first, like, 2 or 3 days. It's like the second wave, right? And then, like, a week or two later is, like, the third wave. And Quinton Spain just all of a sudden, the Bills had already signed, like, 12 offensive linemen. And then he came in for a 1-year, $2 million deal, ends up becoming the starting left guard for the Buffalo Bills this whole season, didn't allow a single sack. And I think he did pretty decent overall. I think that one of the things that hurts him, before I go into the grades and rankings, one of the things I think that hurts Quinton Spain in this offense is, unlike Kevin Johnson can play different positions. He can play outside corner. He can play nickel corner. Quinton Spain's a left guard. Like, they never had him rotate in, whereas you look at guys like John Feliciano, Spencer Long that we talked about last week, those guys can switch in at right guard, left guard, center. For Feliciano, at least, I believe Spencer Long could do the same. He just doesn't offer that positional flexibility that the Bills really appreciate in this offense, especially if they're going to spend a decent amount of money. Quinton Spain, in Joe B's rankings, was ranked number 19 on the list. And just to give you some perspective, so we'll look at the other side of the line, John Feliciano. Do you guys think Quinton Spain had a better ranking from Joe B, from better than other starting right guard John Feliciano?
What was Spain, 19?
Spain was 19.
I don't know. I guess I'll go higher.
No, higher. Mike?
Yeah, higher.
Yeah, Quinn Spain was better than John Feliciano this season. Joby's ranking. Feliciano was ranked number 30 out of 34, and Quinn Spain was number 19. So to put that in perspective, Quinn Spain was one spot below starting center Mitch Morris on the offensive line. Pro Football Focus and their grades as far as, you know, pass blocking and run blocking, Quinn Spain was ranked below John Feliciano when it came to run blocking. According to Pro Football Focus, he was the worst run blocking offensive lineman for the Bills, but he was the third best offensive lineman when it came, or I'm sorry, the fourth best offensive lineman when it came to pass blocking. So he did show up very well in pass blocking, and he didn't allow, like I mentioned earlier, didn't allow a single sack all season, which he has pointed out on Twitter as well, just in case we forgot. So Quinn Spain, much better pass blocker than run blocker. And I wanted to give some quick offensive line stats. We sometimes forget, that the Bills' offensive line was so atrocious in 2018 that we think that any improvement is a good improvement when really it's just better than terrible. So as far as some offensive line rankings go, Pro Football Focus gives the Buffalo Bills the 21st ranked offensive line in the NFL. They said the Bills invested in the offensive line this offseason between free agency and the draft, and we've seen improvement from the unit over last season. Those additions along the line combined with an emphasis on the short passing game and a resulting quicker release from Josh Allen has lowered the signal caller's pressure rate roughly 7 percentage points from where it was last season. The Bills' top pass blocker has been Deion Dawkins this season, 76.4 grade. So 21st ranked offensive line by Pro Football Focus. As far as Football Outsiders go, with a DVOA standard, which is basically just deviation above average, Buffalo, as far as run blocking, is ranked 16th, so right at the league average mark. Pass protection, the Bills are ranked 23rd in the NFL. So at right at the average or below average in both stats. And by Pro Football Focus. So you get enough things, you start to realize that the Bills' offensive line really does need some upgrades. And if I'm going to make a decision today, I say based on the lack of positional flexibility, the lack of him being an all-around great player, I'm thinking that the Bills got him in a third wave of free agency last season. I think they can pick up a player of the same caliber or better than Quinn Spain, especially if Quinn Spain's expecting a big deal. And I'm okay letting Quinn Spain test the market and become a free agent completely. What do you guys think, John?
Well, it's obvious they still need more work on the offensive line. But it also seems to me like it would be another low contract, low risk type of thing. I'd be okay resigning him.
Yeah, if it's a low.
I agree with John. Like, it all depends on what price and at what terms, right? Like anything.
If it's a similar contract to last year, if you could get him for like a 2 or 3 year contract for like $3 or $4 million, we're good, right? Just like we were talking about Kevin Johnson. If it gets above that, though, you guys are probably out, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to pay too much.
Yep, agreed. Okay, low contract for deals for both Kevin Johnson and Quinton Spain coming back only on those. I have a feeling Quinton Spain will not come back. I have a feeling like he's going to get a bigger offer from someone else. Just based on the fact that he didn't allow a sack last season, I think that's going to stand out to a lot of teams, and they're going to pay him more than I think the Bills will. I think they're going to let him test free agency. I think I don't know if they're going to try to re-sign Kevin Johnson, but I don't think he's going to get a really big contract from anyone else. Now we go on to the cream of the crop, the most important unrestricted free agent besides Jordan Phillips, which we know will test the market, is Shaq Lawson. The 2016 first round pick when Rex Ryan was here. He started off his rookie season injured. He hadn't really, up until this last season, he hadn't really done a lot to set himself apart from the other pass rushers, Trent Murphy or anything like that. And this season, I think he really showed up on defense as a defensive end. The Bills did not re-sign him to, or not did not give him his fifth-year player option. Lawson took a backseat to Murphy when healthy in 2018, and he returned to more of a full-time role in 2019. From week 11 through the playoff game, Lawson played nearly 60% of the snaps in each of those, and only slightly behind starters Murphy and Jerry Hughes. I think Lawson excels in run defense, and he does. He's just not a big pass rusher. He's getting better, but he's not really there. He's going to be 26 next season, so he has age on his side. If you want to go to rankings right now, Shaq Lawson is the 11th ranked player on Joe B's ranking out of 34 players. That's a pretty high ranking. That is the highest ranking we've seen for any of the players that we've mentioned so far today. Just to give you an idea, do you guys think that he is ranked higher than Trent Murphy?
Yes.
John says yes.
Yes.
Yes, 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 he is. At 11, he is ranked the highest. Trent Murphy is 31 out of 34. So much higher grade. Joe B obviously likes Shaq Lawson. If we go to Pro Football Focus grades, I want to give you grades on Shaq Lawson as he compares to the run and as he compares to the pass. On the pass rush, Jerry Hughes. Obviously, Jerry Hughes, by the way, is the best ranked pass rusher by any standard. He is the third ranked on Joe B's chart of all players. So that just goes to show you how much Joe B and a lot of people think about Jerry Hughes, especially even playing with those torn ligaments in his wrist coming down the stretch of the season. That's probably the reason why the Bills re-signed him to a two-year extension after this last season, so he didn't become a restricted or an unrestricted free agent after the season. Jerry Hughes is the best pass rush defensive end, by no surprise, by Pro Football Focus standards. The next one, however, is Trent Murphy at 69.1, but Shaq Lawson is right behind him, like nipping at his heels, at 68.7. Only a 0.4 difference when it comes to pass rush. Now, run defense, Pro Football Focus has Trent Murphy as the best run defender defensive end. And then after that is Jerry Hughes and Shaq Lawson. So even though Joe B mentions that Shaq Lawson is really good in run defense, for whatever reason, Pro Football Focus has Trent Murphy ranked higher. And if you look at the contract deals, the contract or the potential for what could be for Shaq Lawson, SpotTrack does a great job of showing what the market value would be for Shaq Lawson based on comparables, other free agents, other deals that have happened recently based on statistics and stuff like that. It doesn't mean that the player is going to get a contract like that, but unlike the other players, SpotTrack actually gives, you know, what the Bills the team that runs the site says that Shaq Lawson will basically get a $7.6 million average deal, 4 years, $30 million. And when you look at that, his equivalents in the market is like Henry Anderson from the Jets, Robert Quinn, other players I don't recognize. Oh, yeah, Matthew Ioannidis with the Washington Redskins, Robert Quinn with the Dallas Cowboys, Daquan Jones with the Tennessee Titans. So he's kind of given some. So $7.6 million, we talked about Trent Murphy last week having the second highest cap hit at $9 million. So we talked about cutting Trent Murphy last season. In my opinion, looking at where the Bills are, I know that's a lot of money to spend for a second defensive end, but it's not like the Bills are shelling out $20 million for like a Von Miller. So if you can re-sign Shaq Lawson to that deal that SpoTrack has at $7.6 million a year, cut Trent Murphy. You got Mike Love and Daryl Johnson sitting behind those guys, and obviously, you know, a top three-round defensive end or potentially another defensive end that the Bills find in free agency for added depth. I mean, I'd be all for that. Re-signing Shaq Lawson, I think, is probably the most pressing need that we've mentioned tonight. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I'd re-sign him.
Mike, convinced?
All depends on the money.
If it's $7.6 million per year for 4 years, just to give you an idea of where the Bills are spending money, Jerry Hughes right now is the fourth highest cap hit at basically $9 million per year. So he would be making $9.5 million. He would be making less than Jerry Hughes, obviously. 7.6 to 9.5. Trent Murphy is almost $10 million this year, which is unbelievable. So you guys agree? If it comes down to $7.6 million, cut Trent Murphy, re-sign Shaq Lawson. Done. Shaq Lawson's younger. He has less of an injury history than Trent Murphy does at this point in their careers. To me, it seems like a no-brainer. You guys?
Plus, if you're comparing monies from like what the guy's getting in 2020 versus a year or 2 years ago, and it would still be less than those contracts, that doesn't sound like a bad deal.
Yeah. The time value of money, John. Good point. All right, cool. All right, so we're all in agreement on all three of those. If it's the right contract, I have a feeling like the Bills will re-sign Kevin Johnson, re-sign Shaq Lawson. They made it a point at the press conference, end of season press conference, to say that they really do like Shaq Lawson. They want him to be part of the team. Apparently he helps, you know, maintain the culture. And I think that this will be the first time the Bills have had a chance to re-sign a drafted player to a potentially large contract, because before this, I mean, at least, you know, a player drafted by the Bills really haven't signed any of those players. I mean, they did Eric Wood, but then he retired from, you know, injury. And so the Bills haven't really re-signed anyone they drafted. Jerry Hughes got that contract extension, but he was a trade from the Kelvin Shepard trade from the Indianapolis Colts. So he's young enough, man. He is at that age where the Bills like signing players if they can. On their second contract, they'll take guys with injury histories. They don't have a problem with that, but they like guys that you know, are young and like they mentioned, Shaq Lawson's only going to be 26 this next season, so that's a huge huge plus for the team. So we're going to end it on that. We're going to do our quick, no, really really quick, going to do a quick TeePublic plug for our TeePublic store. If you check out our site, teepublic.com/stores/ctwpod, you're going to find, like, at least I think we have 15 to 20 unique Bills themed designs for t-shirts, mugs, hoodies, long sleeve t-shirts, tank tops. If you're into that this time of year, maybe you guys live in Hawaii, like our buddy, Ryan, you know, or maybe you live in Florida. So, you know, just, we have everything. They just had a sale. There's sales like every week for this site, and I try to pump them whenever I can on our social media sites, but sometimes I forget. But, we have a St. Paddy's Day Buffalo Head shirt going on this week. So check out our teepublic.com/stores/ctwpod store, and you'll find it there. It's cool. I'm not going to give it away, but you guys got to check it out just to see for yourself if you like it, what you think of it. Give us some thoughts on it. But I think you guys are going to like it in lieu of St. Paddy's Day coming up in just a few weeks, along with the coronavirus coming up within a few weeks. So we should do a coronavirus-themed shirt. Anti-public. So I got coronavirus and all I got was this lousy Bills shirt. So we also have Josh Allen jumping over the haters. Our biggest selling t-shirts are Josh Allen jumping over the word haters shirt. And then we also have our Sean McDermott Trust the Process shirt, which if you're like me and John, you'll probably enjoy that shirt. But if you're like Mike and you think that everything is very, if you're very cynical about everything and you don't think that there's really any genuity or genuineness with people and what they try to say, then you probably won't like it. But so again, check that out, teepublic.com/stores/ctwpod. We're going to give away the Donovan McNabb signed football from our friends over at Del Lago Casino and Resort. Last week we gave it to, I forget who it was, Sumit Gupta. And you gotta listen every week. Not only do you have to leave a 5-star review, but you have to leave it, or you have to listen every week. And appreciate all you guys that have done that over.
I thought it was just a review. You have to leave specifically a 5-star review. That doesn't seem genuine at all.
No. You think they should be able to leave like a 2-star review and be in? Yeah.
No, any review.
Okay. Okay. All right. All right. So any review, apparently, as long as you, yeah, whatever, man, be true, huh? We're not just pumping for the best ratings. Give us, if you're going to be a jerk about it, if you're going to be critical about it, just don't be a jerk, right? Just be constructive. Like, say Mike can be a little bit less cynical, right? Like, that would be constructive.
I don't think it's cynicism, man, to try and appreciate incentives in human interaction, right? Like, I try and be, in everything in life, you should try and understand the incentives of the different parties involved, right? And I think try and be in the 95th percentile in appreciating them and trying to recognize them. And I still, across the board, underestimate the power of incentives.
Yeah. Like, why?
So for you guys to just slurp down what he's selling you. It's not cynicism. It's just appreciating incentives and interactions. And people should not. I think constructive criticism is great. So if people can give us positive feedback, negative feedback, what do they like? What do you want to hear more? What do you want to hear less?
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds good. I'm open to all of those things. You're right, Mike. Way to speak up for, but yeah, you definitely have to look at incentive. Incentive for everything that you do in life. Why is your boss asking you to do this? You know, why is your wife asking you to do this? You start to look at everyone and be like, what's your end game here? What are you trying to get from this exchange? Right? Okay.
I think there's a tendency, right, to conflate just appreciating it doesn't mean you have to have it approach life with a transactional nature. So not being like, oh, Nate was nice to me. I'm going to be nice. Like, it's not all like that. It's just appreciating what incentives drive people. That's all I'm saying.
Yes. Good call. Good call. It's very important. I think that's something you don't realize, like when you're these kids age, like rookies and you know, guys in their early 20s, when they're talking to McDermott, like they don't realize that. That's why you hear a lot of these guys saying, like, I have to do what's right for my family, because they realize in the end, doesn't matter what city you're playing for, doesn't necessarily matter what coach you're being coached by, as long as it means that, you know, money talks. And luckily the Bills have the fourth highest cap and they have money to spend. So that's going to talk the more. And then, you know, the second thing, you got to hope that you have a good secondary pitch, though. I will say that. Like, if you're talking to a free agent and one guy's offering you this and the other, luckily the Bills are like, their selling point is going to be better than a lot of teams, because they can be like, we were 10-6 last season and we are only getting better. And this is our chance. We will have it. I mean, because if you're talking about like the Greg Olsen thing, like they're obviously going to have a leg up over the Washington Redskins, as long as it doesn't have to do with money. Like if money is equal, you know, why would you not want to go to Buffalo over Washington? Unless for some reason you love the city or whatever. You think the city is so much better, which I have to be honest, I don't know if that really truly matters in NFL players' minds, unless like everything else is completely equal. Okay, both teams are offering me the same amount of money. Both teams suck or are really good, and like the weather's better in Miami. Like, that's the only thing that you would do, right? It would be like a tertiary or, you know, fourth ranked thing. But otherwise, I mean, if that was the case, then Miami would get the best free agents of the NFL by far, right? If it was just based on weather. So money speaks. We all get that. Okay, so let's give away the way. I'm going to read a quick review that was just given this last week. So thank you to Andrew GK11. Andrew writes, the monotony of working overnights would surely be too much for one soul if not for the Buffalo Rumblings Network. I always feel up to date with my absolute favorite team and feel like I know all the amazing hosts, especially Nate and John of Circling the Wagons. So Andrew writes that. Thank you very much, Andrew, for saying
what?
That. Oh, did I forget that did I miss Mike on that one? But thank you very
Seriously?
Much. he didn't write you on that one, okay? He said Nate and John. That's what he said.
That's the one you picked out to read.
That's just the most recent one. I didn't want to scroll too far, so we're out of
scroll too far. Probably three come up at it on one. You don't even have to scroll any, and you see three.
I didn't have to scroll at all, and I saw that one, so that's what I did. Plus, there was one, Mike, where like they said that you were their favorite. So shut up.
I don't think that one got read.
No, I haven't read that one yet. I've been saving that one.
Well, if you always look at the top one, it's probably not going to come up.
So the winner of this week's signed Donovan McNabb football goes to Tom G_97. That's Tom G_97. So Tom G at one point left us a review, and yeah. Yeah, so Tom, just shoot us an email. Shoot us our email, by the way, is ctwpod@gmail.com. Shoot us a tweet or a DM over Twitter, a DM over Instagram, Facebook, whatever you got to do. Everyone's been able to get a hold of us that way or another, and we'll send it to you from there. So I have nothing left to add, but appreciate everything you guys I appreciate all you guys listening. Next week, we're going to discuss the Bills' biggest needs going into free agency in the draft. Going to talk a couple of options at each one, and we'll go from there. So signing off for John.
Trust the process. Next year's the year. Go Super Bowl. Go Bills.
For Mike.
Stock up on food. You never think about it when it's present. It's the only thing you think about when you don't have it. Get a couple cans of Chef Boyardee. Throw them in your pantry.
Wait, I thought we said water was the most important thing.
I'm assuming everyone's filling up their bathtub.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. So make sure you have a full bathtub. Make sure you have... Be sure you stock up on Chef Boyardee. And for me, Nate, go Bills. We'll talk to you guys again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod at gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.